If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Oh, we're just about 3 weeks away from AEW Dynasty, and tonight Dynamite heats up from Worcester, Massachusetts. Hello, my name is not Jack Palmer. He's on assignment. My name is Hobo Boys, but as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by some luminaries and dignitaries. In fact, on my far right or left, depending on your screen, you can describe him in three words, and I like to do it as unapologetically Canadian. Give it up for Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, professional referee, Jimmy Corderas. What's up, sir?
I'm doing awesome. I was just brushing up on the rules because I don't want to get into it, but we didn't see a whole lot of them being enforced tonight, but that's really all together.
Yeah, 30 days you have to defend the title. Is that how it is back in the day? Someone called
something
Jack
like that. Well, God bless Jock Tenney, because he was the one who first hired me up here in Canada, in Toronto. Oh, wow. I worked for his office. So, you know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish what I accomplished, and I'm grateful.
Hands down, the first authority figure I actually was afraid of. My parents are one thing, but like, oh no, Jack Tony's here. It's a big deal. But of course, we also have in the crew is something I can describe in three words, a work in progress. Give it up for professional wrestler and content creator, George Hermosa. Oh.
Did you know I can get 8 CDs for one penny?
It's a scam, brother. Bail.
Dude, that's amazing.
Don't believe the myth.
I don't know. I don't see no asterisk anywhere. So, by the way, did you guys ever see Suburban Commando?
Oh yeah, I was there.
What a piece of crap movie that was.
Whoa, that's fighting words.
Oh yeah. My god,
Jimmy, talk about
90. Talk about 90 minutes. I wish I can get back.
It was so bad I forgot about it. Thank goodness.
All right, let's get into all the things. Thank you so much for joining us.
I had this game. Did you guys have this game for Game Boy?
No, I didn't have it. I didn't have a Game Boy. It's super late.
Actually. No. After Nintendo, I gave up.
All right. We're streaming live on that YouTube, that Facebook, that X, and Twitch. Let us know what your comments below. Super chats are definitely appreciated. But before we get into the events today in Dynamite, George, what's in the news wire this evening?
So I'm going to start off a little, you know, kayfabe-y in some ways. Obviously, a lot of people are taking it too serious. I think it's all in fun. And obviously, a lot of these wrestlers are all friends for the most part. But former AEW MJF calls out The Rock for WWE star's recent social media post. If you guys follow people on Twitter and kind of know what's the happenings in, you know, people's personal lives, it looks like MJF used to go out with somebody who is very artistic. She does a lot of wrestling paintings and, you know, obviously showcases her Twitter or her art on her Twitter. And she recently did a painting of The Rock bloodying up Cody Rhodes. And she kind of said, like, you know, painting of The Rock and Cody, who saw this insane scene. Also, sorry, Mama Rhodes. Then Dwayne Johnson responded, you know, love this, you know, would love to buy this from you. And, you know, kind of want to give this to Mama Rhodes. And then after that, you had MJF respond, right?
What do you say?
He said, first, you steal my glorious idea to lash Cody, which he's right. We did see that before in AEW. Now you try to cop art from my ex. I'm a fan, but please leave me be, do we?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Talk about fighting words.
Them's fighting words, yeah.
Jimmy, what's going on, man? Like, what's going on, MJF? Is he on point or something wrong with his diet?
He may be a little bit on point, but at the same time, I think this is more... You know, he knows where the big stars are and where to get some attention. And if you want to get some attention, because he's been away for a little while, you know, people are kind of a little, I don't want to say they're forgetting about him, because this guy did do some amazing stuff and put a little bit of AEW on the map. He definitely did. This guy's a star. Let's put it that way. And for such a young age, he gets it. He understands what to do to get noticed. And I think this is the perfect example of his knowledge of how to get himself out there and get reminding the audience, hey, don't forget about me. I'm still here.
That's a smart move.
And especially like he hasn't really tweeted that much recently, and that's kind of his first prominent tweet for like a few months. So kind of a cool way to get his name back out there.
Yeah, going after The Rock. I don't know. Sometimes half our staff is somewhere in Pennsylvania this week for some reason. I'm not really sure. So I totally get that. But let's see if MJF is kind of a free agent, I think. We don't really know the contract status, but if that was the case, why not play a couple sides? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. George, what else we got this week?
So the next one's a little bit on the controversial side. Obviously, a lot of people are getting very opinionated all over social media. Former WWE star Ronda Rousey goes off about incident with NXT's Drew Gulak. So last night, Ronda Rousey was on News Nation's Banfield, and she was talking about an incident in where somebody, if she didn't mention who at first, but she said somebody came about, you know, saying hello and whatnot, and decided to grab the string from her sweatpants. You know, obviously that's all she really said, but it can be just the regular, maybe like a string, or maybe like the string to tie it up or whatever. And she felt like that wasn't really a nice thing, or she didn't really feel comfortable when he did that. I mean, her exact words were, "I'm just like, what the, you know, blank was that? Why are you grabbing the string of my sweatpants? If my husband was standing right here next to me, would you feel comfortable walking up to me and grabbing the string of my sweatpants?" And nobody acted me like it was abnormal. She went on to tell the story, and then she was asked by the host, "So who was it?" And then she goes, "I can't remember his name. I remember how he looked. Oh, wait, it was Drew Gulak." And obviously, the internet kind of blew up about it. Now, this is
as it does.
Yeah, this is the part where I'm a little I mean, I hope I don't get canceled for this, but I'm not really saying anything controversial for the most part, but a lot of people are saying like, screw Drew Gulak, you know, like what a shame, for like, what the hell, you know? And then you have a lot of people saying about Ronda Rousey, saying like, oh, I don't like her anyways. She's just trying to victim shame her or herself and whatnot. I mean, there's a lot of people kind of spewing opinions that frankly do need to shut up, and to be perfectly blunt, for the most part, Ronda said that he apologized. Drew said in a tweet that he tweeted, you know, hey, this is what happened, to kind of clarify some things. I already apologized. I just feel like a lot of people are kind of going after Drew Gulak for no reason, when I don't think she was trying to put the blame or put the focus on Drew Gulak to begin with. I think she was just trying to kind of talk about the culture from her eyes.
Sure.
And I think that was kind of the point she was trying to get across, saying that nobody that it kind of seemed like normal behavior from a lot of people. And I talked a little bit about last week in regards to, you know, Ronda's kind of making the rounds these days as far as interviews and saying a lot of things about the culture and whatnot. Again, I'm not discrediting anything that anybody's saying, but at the same time, she does have a book out. you know what I'm saying? So you know, she's making the rounds up on the, you know, the interviews, and sure, she's saying a lot of things, and to be honest with you, these are the kind of things that get people talking, especially when you hear stories in a book. You're hearing a lot of things about Becky Lynch's book, a little less salacious from Becky's side, but like I said, a lot of things just kind of going on. And again, I think she's more so talking about the culture, not specifically singling out Drew Gulak.
So let me ask a question there, Jimmy. And I know that like you were in the room when this particular event happened, but just walk me through this, because I never thought about that dynamic of you have your coworkers where you are physically touching them all the time, not advocating, not condoning anything. But sometimes is there kind of like almost like a extra second to reset when you're in other situations or environment where you're so physical with your coworkers for so long?
It's weird, because I know people out there are going to say, of course you saw something back in the day. Of course you saw this. Of course you saw. You know what? I didn't really notice any of that, because I had my own duties to do during the day before I was refereeing for the night. I was setting up the ring. I was part of the ring crew as well. So I was pulling double duty as well as trying to go over the matches and trying to figure out what's going on. And yes, there are a lot of stuff out there right now. There's a lot of allegations going on. And people are saying, you must have saw something. I kind of kept to myself and kept away from that, because, you know, especially back in the day when it was like the Wild West with the boys, you know what I mean? Kind of stay to yourself, stay out of the spotlight, do your own thing, be there, do your job, and then drive to the next town. Absolutely. Was the way I kind of did it. So I didn't notice a lot of the stuff. You hear little things here and there, but what Ronda Rousey's talking about now, it just, there's a lot of it coming out from her, and it's almost like she's saying with a lot of venom and a lot of anger. Like, it's coming from a different place as opposed to, you know, there, I had an issue with this person or I had an issue with that person. It sounds like she's angry.
Right.
And go ahead.
No, I was like, well, I'm not here to flex on anybody, but as a couple of times I was a PA backstage at WWE events, it's true. Referees are doing like 25 other things. Like, people forget how much stuff you have to do in addition to actually count shoulders. So props for that.
I appreciate that.
Before we roll into today's Dynamite, I gotta give a shout out to Justine A, man. Good news all around. Tested negative for cancer. Thank you so much for
doing
that. Always good news to hear that about your health, Justine A. Thank you so much. And of course, if you have super chat, let us know. But
thank you for sharing that with us too. That's awesome.
No problem, man. Let's go about Dynamite. It's the Wednesday night delight. 3,500 fans packing the DCU Arena in Worcester, Massachusetts, which makes sense.
Worcester.
Which makes sense if you want to do a travel thing from, you know, Massachusetts to Pennsylvania. Just an idea. You could probably do that. I kind of miss the intro song. I still say Light the Fuse, Feel the Boom. Me personally. The show starts off with Adam Copeland. I almost use his other name just there. I am a better...
you mean Sex and Hardcastle?
Yeah, Sex and Hardcastle. Gave a promo that was, in my word, a little bit bizarre. Because he came out with the championship, he came out with the title, wasn't dressed to compete, just said, hey, look, I love wrestling. It's a lot of fun. I dig it. And here's Will Ospreay. George Hermosa, I kind of have an inkling as to why this is, but it's something kind of weird to me.
So I need to stay off Twitter because I get very...
I agree. Good night, everybody.
And again, I'm... And I think the worst thing about Twitter is that it shows you a lot of people's opinions and comments that you never asked for, right? It's just like, why are you show up in my feed? I don't follow you in any way. So we're hearing a lot of like, oh, obviously he's sending out Copeland for the rah-rah speech after everything that Punk said and whatnot. Or you have the complete opposite, right? You have like, oh, how pathetic does that sound? Or, oh, so something like that. No, and again, Twitter wasn't around back then. No one batted an eye when The Rock did that back in 2002 when Austin left. I don't know if you remember that, Jimmy, when Austin walked out.
Get the F out.
Yeah, and then like Vince was kind of saying like, oh, he's here. And then The Rock comes out and does this kind of similar rah-rah speech about like, hey, I'm here because I want to be here. I'm not here, you know, kind of throwing some shots on Austin, but obviously it's all business. It's no different. Like, you know, it's one of those things where I can't blame Tony for wanting to send somebody out there, like, and especially for somebody like Edge, who's been around the block here and there. And by all means, like, he does sound like he wants to finish his career in AEW, because quite frankly, what is there else for him to do in the WWE? He's literally accomplished everything there is to do in WWE. So, you know, I like to think he was sincere in his words. And by all means, like, why wouldn't you want to have somebody come out there with the pedigree and credentials and credibility of an Adam Copeland, to kind of boost up what AEW is? And that's just a place that people can go have fun. The only thing that was a little disappointing is I feel like the crowd was kind of like, yay. I don't know. I just feel like the crowd wasn't really with it all the way. But for the most part, like, I don't blame that segment for happening, to be honest with you.
Well, the crowd thing is specific because the space is built for 15,000 and it held 3,500. So it's right. They had to do a lot. And I'm not knocking ticket sales. I'm not saying anything, but the space is so large that it could be a hot crowd. You wouldn't be able to hear it. Jimmy, thoughts about Copeland in this promo today?
No, I agree with George. I think there is a reason why it went out there and started the show the way it did. But I will say this about Adam Copeland, knowing him for so long. He is very passionate. And when you felt that coming through your TV screen. I thought so tonight. You know, I just wish that more people would feel the way he does, because he did mention WWF. He didn't say WWE. He said old school WWF. And it started to get a reaction like that negative reaction from the AEW hardcores. And he kind of toned it down. I said, no, it's not about that. It's about all wrestling. We love all wrestling. We want you to, you know. And I like that he said that. That being said, I think, you know, obviously, no, don't worry about it. He heard Adam's speech as well. So that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. was he booing him?
Yeah. But I also get why it was done. It was kind of like a, you know, we have to counter what was said earlier this week. And we have to show them that we are a united front here. And a lot of the stuff that Punk said in that interview with Ariel Helwani, which was a fantastic interview because Ariel did a great job. He was speaking from the heart. That's a different CM Punk than I remember. Right. CM Punk is in a different space now. And he is not a guy who's going to sugarcoat anything. And I know that people are saying there's two sides to every coin and there's two sides to every story. True. And you have to take a little bit of each side. And I get that as well. But what I heard from Punk, and not to peel back the curtain too much, a lot of the stuff he was saying was stuff I've been hearing from people that I know.
Oh, I see.
And not everybody, but there's certain individuals there that fit in that circle that Punk was talking about. And, you know, I agree with the other fact that maybe it's time for Tony to take charge and be a boss.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to be a common refrain when it comes to AEW. And sometimes I go, oh no, what are you talking about? But sometimes I go, yeah, because I don't know. I felt like, well, for me, I was a little confused because the mic feedback I thought was part of the gimmick. I thought it was a work. I was waiting for someone to come out and be like, haha, Copeland, I messed up your audio microphone. And when that didn't happen, I was late. I was late to be smart enough as to what this was. I get it. I like it, but it just seems kind of out of place. But maybe just me.
But he did good. He did a wonderful job of pumping up the roster. Yeah. He made everybody sound important. And that's what you need to do. Now they just have to get some return for their investment.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because speaking of return on investment, Will Ospreay, or Ospreay, comes out and has a match against Powerhouse Hobbs, and as kind of like a back-to-back, almost a preview feature of that Ospreay match is going to have a Danielson at Dynasty. But the Powerhouse Hobbs match was interesting. I loved it. Will Ospreay gets the dub, and it was pretty much a handed victory on his end. Jimmy, let me ask you two questions. One, thoughts about the match and Will Ospreay in AEW, and two, was the Powerhouse Hobbs a guy one time? Was he like an attraction at one point? What happened?
I don't know what happened. I hate to use this term. He got Wardlow.
Oh, snap.
Because there's a guy that should have been the Rocket, should have been strapped to, and they had that opportunity early on, but that got sidetracked for some reason. But what I loved about this match, a really solid match between these two. I thought it was interesting that both are members of Don Callis's stable there, which also adds a little bit of intrigue as to why these two were facing each other. But I love the fact that they told a story in the body of the match, because a lot of times you see Will Ospreay going out there and doing a lot of, and I hate to put it this way, unnecessary stuff, stuff he doesn't need to do, because he can do some tremendous things in the ring, but sometimes he goes overboard. He doesn't need to do that much. He did just enough tonight to make you remember that he is excellent in the ring. And him and Hobbs worked well together. It was that David and Goliath story. Mm-hmm. And that's old school. And old school can still work in the new world if you do it correctly. And I think they did it correctly tonight.
True. George, the Ospreay guy. I know there's a lot of signees at AEW, but has he stealthily become the biggest pickup of the three or four AEWs picked up recently?
So far, absolutely. And he goes to show, I feel like I sound like a broken record because I say this every single week, Will Ospreay is showing that he is just the most versatile performer. He can work with guys that is bigger than him, smaller than him, same size, heel, face, whatever it is. He's totally becoming such, reminds me a lot of like Ricky Steamboat, in terms of like Steamboat was a guy that can work with like anybody. Same thing with Shawn Michaels.
My idol. Sorry to cut you off, George. Steamboat is my idol.
Real quick Steamboat story before, now that you brought it up. I remember I met Steamboat one time and I was like, oh my God, like obviously in shock. And it was like a wrestling show, so obviously there was no like rush or anything like that. But it was like, hey man, can I like see your ring? And I just wanted to see it. But he like took it off and like handed it to me. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm literally holding like Ricky Steamboat's Hall of Fame ring in my hand. Just super cool moment.
That's Ricky. That's him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sorry. But it was just, 1000%. It was just like, wow, like that's amazing. But yeah, I thought of that when I said Steamboat, but it goes to show that Ospreay can just, he can work with anybody. And I think this today was more of a showcase to show that he not only can work with a Kyle Fletcher, but he can work with somebody like a Will Hobbs as well, that are just a complete, pun intended, powerhouse, and shows that he can work with a guy that obviously is much more overpowered by him. And he made it work. Like I was no surprise that he can do.
And believe it or not, sorry to cut you off, Lobo, but believe it or not, his selling has gotten better. Will Ospreay, wow, the way he is selling has gotten better, because you have to sell those moves that these big guys do to you, or else they mean nothing at all. And he was doing that. And the other thing I love about Will Ospreay really quickly here is he's connecting with that audience. And you have to have that connection, and it feels organic. It doesn't feel forced. Right. So I'm liking that. This guy, he seems like a real deal. Let's put it that way.
The only thing I really want to see now, sorry, Flobo, is like, again, forever's a long time. 2-3 years is a long time. So I'm not saying that's to be in the next 6 months, but I want to see like an actual, and I'm going to get blasted for this, by the way. Like, I want to see an actual
blasted and canceled.
Love I want to see an actual story with Will Ospreay. And I don't mean like, let's see who the best wrestler is. I want to see like an actual, it doesn't have to be like hokey, like, you know, like Booker T and Kurt Angle, you know, with Charmel. Like, it doesn't have to be anything like that, but it's just something where it's like, you know, you have somebody like a Daniel Bryan where everybody knew that he can wrestle, but nobody really cared until he was called a B-plus player, until he started doing certain chants, right? And again, I want to see Ospreay into like a full-fledged swerve, even like a swerve-style story where you have somebody that, or you have somebody that like, not the story isn't being built around the match. I want the story to lead into the match. So I'd like to see something like that happen with Will Ospreay soon.
Yeah, I'm with that. Well, shout out to my idol, D'Lo Brown. All right, I got an idol too. All right,
I got a soft spot for D'Lo, man. He's my boy.
He's a guy, man. And oh, side note, Team Taz, Taz calling Team Taz back in the day popped me hard. Like back in the day, I was like 3 years ago.
Oh, since you brought up the name, can I just say this really quickly about Taz? He is fabulous on commentary because not only does he cover up and help tell the story in the ring, he's great at little technical things that, you know, during the match that people might fly over the radar.
Yeah.
Under the radar or something like that.
Yeah, it goes under the radar.
Yeah, for the fan out there. And he points these things out, and he's very, very intricate in his descriptions, and I like that.
I was a big fan of Nigel McGuinness for similar reasons. I think that he does a lot of the technical stuff that makes you realize why things should hurt, because your neck is like this way or that way or whatever. So after the match, we get the Brian Danielson stare down because it's the preview match of what's going to have a Dynasty Ospreay versus Danielson. And Danielson has a match against Lance Archer. And well, the match itself was pretty good, but I have a bit of a beef with this one. And it's not so much the match itself, it's it happening right after Ospreay's, because it's felt like Daniel Bryan took forever to dispatch Lance Archer. I almost felt like he was weaker by comparison. George, am I crazy? Am I off my rocker?
You're 1000% crazy.
Okay.
I kind of see where you're coming from. I feel like it was kind of obviously like it kind of, obviously it's intentional, it's pro wrestling, but you kind of wanted to see them back to back, right? Where it's like, hey, anything you can do, I can do better. Right, you kind of wanted that Will Ospreay match fresh in everybody's mind.
While Hobbs is a bigger threat than Archer, let's be honest. Like, I mean, I like both guys, but Hobbs can actually and has a win loss record. Lance does not.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
fair point.
Yeah. I mean, 1000%. But I think, and I'm not saying it needed to be back to back, but it obviously was still fresh in everybody's mind, right? We just saw that stare down. He wasn't going to do the stare down and then go to the back and say, hey, I want to have a match in half an hour. You know, you kind of had to have it back to back. But I get it. I kind of get where you're coming from. But in my opinion, I think it needed to be back to back just so we have that fresh in everybody's mind as far as what's going to be the biggest match of coming out of Dynasty.
Wow. Interesting. I guess I'm a little bit old school. Maybe have the Bryan Danielson match at 9:30 and then have Ospreay come out and stare down. Maybe I'm just a little crazy. Help me out.
Maybe here. You know what? It's not a bad idea to have it back to back because to get that stare down, but you can do it in a different way. And I'm not saying that they should be a copycat of what WWE does, but they could use some of the intricacies in how they shoot their television show recently, because WWE has been doing some great stuff with when they followed Sami Zayn through the gorilla position and into the back that led into the next segment. That was brilliant. They could have had something where Will Ospreay leaves and they go to the back and he's ready to get interviewed by Renee, and there's Daniel Bryan walking towards the ring. You know, and there you have the stare down backstage. And you said, did a heck of a job, kid, but watch what I do. And then just, that's all he has to say. It's something simple, and walk away and go for his match there, or have it at the crossover hour. Do it there.
Way too early prediction, Jimmy. Who do you think is going to walk away with a dub? Is it going to be Ospreay? Is it going to be Danielson?
I think if you're going to build Ospreay, it has to be Ospreay, and it has to be in convincing fashion after a grueling match, because you know this is going to be a grueling match between those two, because those guys are both guys that are going to lay it all on the line and put it out there. So I think Ospreay does need this win, because a loss is a bit of a setback for him. Daniel Bryan could take this loss and won't lose any steam.
I guess you agree, George, with that?
Ospreay, 1,000%. Will Ospreay, what is this, like its fifth or sixth match in AEW? Not that he can't afford it, because obviously that just goes a long way. I mean, Triple H got buried in his first WrestleMania match, and he turned out perfectly fine. But yeah, I mean, for considering the fact that you have Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, I guess, you know, what we all call him now, you know, kind of openly saying that he's on the tail end of his full-time wrestling career, and you have Will Ospreay, like, literally the hottest upstart. Yeah, I don't see him losing anytime soon.
Shout out to the guy who got body slammed through a table, Jim McGillicuddy. You know, he sacrificed for us. So we got ourselves a little bit of a call out. Renee Paquette comes out, and Renee introduces Lionheart Chris Jericho, which, even though he says Lionheart, he's kind of morphing between personas. So that's just a little bit of a hot take there. And, well, we all know the deal with what they call Lion Hook. Hook, that cold-hearted, handsome devil. It's Chris Jericho with his flavor of the month. They look to have a little bit of a tag team this weekend. Jimmy Corderas. Now, Jericho is an icon of what it means to reinvent yourself, time in and time out, the blueprint, beyond the blueprint for generations to come. However, I do feel this one's kind of interesting. I feel like Jericho would ask somebody else to mentor. I feel like Hook would hang out with somebody else. Are you on board with these two as a pairing?
For now, I am. I want to see where this goes, because, like you said, there's a different Chris Jericho we're seeing here, and that, like, and also to copy what you said, he has been a master at reinventing himself over the years. This is a different Chris Jericho. This is a more calm, more reserved, more, you know, relaxed, wanting to be a mentor, so to speak, Chris Jericho. And the only thing I want to see from Hook is a little more personality. Yes, he's got. He's convinced the audience that he's tough and he can take a beating and he can still come back and you know, stay in the fight, so to speak. But at the same time, audiences connect to the people, to the character.
Yeah.
So I want to see more of him. I want to know what he's more about. Yes, we know he's Taz's son and that sort of thing. And then the audience knows it as well. Let's use that in some form or fashion. I don't know. I just want to see a little more personality out of Hook, whether it's a mean SOB that just wants to pound somebody or just like, hey, you know what? I'll take you down too, just like everybody else, whatever the case may be, just more personality.
Just to do a complete 180 swerve and have him write poetry or something. Like Heidenreich back in the day.
Candles in the wind or something like that. I don't know.
Exactly. Haikus. George, we saw Shane Taylor Promotions, Lion Hook's opponents this weekend backstage saying, look, it's nice. It's cute. You guys are together, but you're going to get beat to the ground. Shane Taylor Promotions, formidable. Yes. Win, loss worthy? Not so much. You think they walk away this collision with the dub?
Shane Taylor Promotions?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's always been one of my biggest criticisms about AEW is that they have all these matches that they build as in it's not like superstar against I don't want to call them enhancement talents, but you know, it's like you watch these matches and they're building it like it's like a pay-per-view match, which is fine, but it's like it's against some of these guys that you know have no chance of winning at all.
Leave Commander alone. You leave Commander out of this.
I mean, I don't know. Just I mean, I get, I applaud what they're doing, obviously, and anybody's that's on that level. I just don't care for it, to be honest with you. I'm not really digging the Jericho thing either. I'd like for it to be a little bit more substance behind it. I'd like for them to be like, or for him to be like, listen, like he wants to kind of mimic what Sting and Darby was. So he wants to find his own Darby Allin. I feel like maybe something like that, maybe we're kind of missing an explanation on why he's so set on one, being a mentor, two, you know, being a mentor to specifically Hook, you know, like he's, you know, how come he wasn't a mentor to Action Andretti? Andretti beat him in the ring. You know, it's little things like that. I feel like just needs to be more filling in the blank. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm excited for it. I don't hate it, but I do kind of want to see where they're going to go for it. Hopefully it doesn't take too long. I feel like hopefully it doesn't drag on for too long, but
my issue with Jericho and the AEW roster is that it's always the I like you, let's tag team, and then it breaks up. I feel like you're going to be that great, you travel the world, yeah, you have people under you, and you teach them, and then they swerve you, not Golden Jets or not that. That's Kenny Omega, but, you know, not Six Gods or what have you. But maybe I'm just, you know, kind of nitpicky there. All right, well, back in the ring, we have Switchblade Jay White against Daddy Ass Billy Gunn in a matchup that went no longer than I thought it would, but you know, you had the Acclaimed somehow getting beat down, but still having the courage to come on out after this one. You got the Gunn Club involved. You had Jay White trying to slide away. It was an absolute mess. And Twitter or X seems that they're kind of over this one. George, walk me through this. We like Jay White. We like the Acclaimed. Everyone loves the Acclaimed. Why does it seem that IWC is over this one?
I don't mind it. I like this one a lot better than the last segment that I just talked about. I personally dig it. I like Jay White. I like Billy Gunn. I like the way it started. I like the way Billy Gunn kind of creeped up behind Jay White. Like, why wouldn't he? You know, he invaded his house. To be honest with you, I do feel like there's a little bit lost with the Acclaimed to say that they're not as hot as they were maybe like a year and a half ago. I feel is a bit understatement. So I don't know what it is. Maybe they need to give Max more rhymes. Maybe Bowens needs to be more on the mic. I feel like that when they had that promo, I want to see on Collision. It wasn't really that good. I don't know what it was. I don't know. I just maybe it's just me, but I feel like there's something more so with the Acclaimed. I feel like even the Guns as well. There was something very magical with the Guns, especially when they came out to Many Men by 50 Cent.
Yeah,
like, man, like that one time that happened, that was so cool. Like that was like, yeah, okay, I can get behind some of these guys, and I really think them uniting into the Bang Bang Scissor Bullet Club gang, that did more damage than,
heck yeah, it did.
To the point where now we're seeing a little bit of the collateral damage from that. I feel like maybe they just need to end this next week, just move on and, you know, go your separate ways. I feel like maybe just the chemistry with each other is just a little too much, and you just need to move on.
You don't like when I say this, but Mr. Corderas, true or false? Billy Gunn is the reason why the Guns run over, because if you have Billy still going at that clip, you want to see Billy, true or not?
Yeah, I would agree with that, because Billy Gunn, whatever diet he's on, please send me some, Billy, you know, because he looks fantastic. And I'm surprised that this match turned out the way it happened. Sorry, I'm kind of going away from your question here, because
it wasn't that good of a question. I'm not trying.
No, it's just, you know, coming from the world of the striped shirts, I had an issue with a lot of what was going on in this match and how much of it was taking place outside of the ring. And I know Billy tried his hardest to roll back into the ring to break the referee's count a few times, but still, it was way too long out there a lot of the times. And even commentary was trying to cover up for it by saying, well, they know the importance of this match and how much it means to these guys, so the referee's giving some leniency and stuff like that. No.
Yeah.
No leniency. Anytime the referee should show any leniency, it should be in a match we're going to talk about the situation from the ending of Dynamite tonight, a championship match with Joe and Swerve. If any match needs leniency, that's the one, because if you do it in every match, then it doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
The rules don't matter at all.
So I'm
it
with
just
you.
Doesn't matter.
I agree. I agree with you. Sorry. You need rules to break those rules. But can I just be the voice of the voiceless here? Someone's watching, lurking on Wrestling Link. They say, "Oh yeah, you work for Stanford, and oh yeah, you work with that Mickey Mouse promotion. You don't get it, man. It's a whole new wave, bro. Come on."
Look, the way I try to explain it to people is like this: yes, I worked for the other guys for a long time, but I am a wrestling fan first and foremost, and I left them in 2009 amicably.
I said Brian Danielson, Danielson Brian. It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. You get what I'm trying to say here. Yeah. And, you know, under a terrible tragedy that happened in our family, we lost my father at that time when I left WWE. And unfortunately, I had no desire, not just to go back to them. Mm-hmm. You know, we parted ways, mutually decided to part ways for a little while. The door was always open to come back, but I had no desire to go back, because, you know, we talk about the sacrifices that the talent makes on the road. all those years, 250, 300 days a year, you're on the road and you're away and you miss birthdays, you miss anniversaries, you miss Christmas, Thanksgiving, all those, all the above. But the other people that make the sacrifice is your family, mm-hmm. your wife, your parents. And I just felt like I'd taken a lot of time away from them and wanted to be with them for a while.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? And
yeah, it's a grind, it seems, you know. I always say a traveling circus, but it's more than that.
I never lost my love for pro wrestling, and I love all pro wrestling. I want it all to thrive and succeed, and especially the AEW, which they have someone now who could back them, and now this gives the talent another place where they could go make some decent money, get seen on television, on a prominent television station, and hopefully become an alternative to people who are, whatever, sick and tired of the other guy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm not sick and tired of anybody. I just want to see everybody do well. I'm not being paid by the other guys to see this, and I'm not trying to be a homer.
Yeah.
But I was taught this way, and I'm sorry to ramble on so much. I always say that in the world of wrestling, it's just like the wheel. The wheel was first made of stone, and then it evolved. It became made of wood, and then it became rubber, and then we evolved the rubber into vulcanized rubber, run flat tires, and all this sort of thing. But at the end of the day, the wheel is round, because if it's not round, you can't move forward.
Yeah. It's funny because I've been covering weekly wrestling shows for like, what, 6 years now, 7 years now? And everyone's like, you're a WWE shill. I'm like, please, I want a shill. Someone give me money. I would love to sell out. No, but you're absolutely right. And there's actually a segment later on today where I feel had the refereeing in AEW been more strict, we would have got a little bit more, but we'll get to that soon. But yeah, I kind of feel that seems to be a sentiment. George, what you thought about this, man? So Billy Gunn, you see, you're kind of the Billy Gunn situation. You think that this whole thing was kind of a mess. Is there a way to resolve it that everyone will be happy, or you just have to blow it up and start over? You think?
I feel like they need to bring in the Guns, Austin and Colton. I feel like they need to bring in their uncle.
Okay.
Yeah, where is Bart Gunn in all of this?
Yeah, I wanted to say, it's like that is a deep cut that I'm not sure.
Totally all kidding. Right. But like I said, yeah, just get it over with. Have the six man, unify the belts. They're meaningless anyways. Wow. Just put it all in one, and then just have the winner and just move on to the next one.
All right. Well, speaking of moving on to the next one, another promo. This one's from Willow Nightingale. She really loves Massachusetts, but someone else from Massachusetts made an appearance. A little bit of that CEO, Mercedes Moné, and she says that, look, I'm happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. Whoever wins this match that you have later on, I got next. George, I want to start with you, because it's always been one of my major gripes in the women's division of AEW is that you have a split division. TBS, you are the CEO, and the TBS championship is in your fights first. What gives, man?
If you would be watching last week, Flobo Boys, you would know that I want to see Mercedes be kind of like make a little checklist. You know, she said it in her first promo. She wants to, you know, this thing to go global. She wants to be a worldwide. And I feel like she needs to, or she wants to kind of get everything off the list, whether it's the TBS, whether it's the New Japan Strong Women's Championship, whether it's some championship in Stardom. She just wants it all. She just wants to be able to say it all. I mean, even you had, you know, somebody like an Oscar or Charlotte that literally won every single belt. And I feel like being the TBS champion, it's going to be elevate that championship. I don't think of it as a step down. I think more so with somebody like her, she wants to elevate it, right? Like, especially like, I don't know how long her contract is, but there's no rush. Like, you don't have to necessarily go after the top girl at this, you know, you want to be the champion at all times, but you know, there's no rush. You can win it next year. But in the meantime, I want to make sure I have some other gold right now.
Jimmy, walk me through this. Willow Nightingale is kind of a ray of sunshine and positivity. Mercedes Moné has her in her sights eventually. What do you make of this TBS desktop?
I'm okay with it. I'm going to give a big shout out to my buddy Joey Image, who is in the chat room there, and he pointed out something that I have in my notes as well. Yes. Why did the promo happen with the crowd behind her? You know, I get it. It was a different camera shot to show the crowd and all that stuff. But it should have been turned around, because you're not only addressing the TV audience at home in your camera, you're addressing the crowd live as well. You can still talk to the camera, but you're still kind of facing the audience and talking to them. I think it would have worked better that way. And with Mercedes coming out the way she did, yes, she's still getting that positive reaction, but she was full blown. It felt full blown heel here.
Oh,
did you feel that? I thought so. It came off that way to me. We saw a different side. She's been so humble and so reserved, and I'm so glad to be here. And then all of a sudden she turned it on, and you know, it was little bit of a different Monet.
Are you asking me as a wrestling fan or as a Wrestling Inc. host? There's two different answers.
Well, I'll take both. Really quickly, does anybody know what CEO stands for yet?
Not in this context, no. It's like, I can't use boss. I know. What's a boss? Middle management. No, I'm kidding. So if you're asking me as a wrestling fan, I go, yeah, her personality, her mannerism, she's going to be someone who's going to be either you hate them or you love to hate them. And that's going to be her spectrum. She won't be able, even when she's a face, almost like Carmelo Hayes, right? Even when you're a face, you're like, okay, you have a little bit of edge to you. But in the context of AEW, faces and heels don't really exist. And again, we'll get to a little bit later. The Young Bucks are technically heels, but I don't think anyone wants to boo them. They're just like, oh, it's the Young Bucks. They're young bucking around. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to say. So personally, got to give a shout out to Super Chats here. Give it to Jake Elnar, who says, like Adam's speech, but I don't think the negativity was there in the building for it to be necessary. It just gives a bit of legitimacy to what Punk said. Good theory, but thank you so much for your Super Chat. But I will say sometimes things need to be said. You got to clear the air when it's there. And of course, hand out to J.R. Smith and the Joe's going to kill you. And Lisa is on assignment.
Really quickly about the speech that Adam gave tonight, you know, if the boss would actually say something similar, as opposed to trying to take cheap pot shots, sounding like an angry teenager on Twitter, you know, it would make more sense for me. And look, like I said before, I don't know Tony Khan. From all my understanding, he's a great guy. People like him a lot. But someone take his phone away, please.
I agree. I feel like it reminds me of, okay, yes, maybe you're the best person on the microphone in the ring. A lot of us aren't. Like, we're not all promo cutters, and maybe you are more confident on Twitter, but there, or X or whatever they call it. But there's sometimes I go, Tony, you didn't have to. You can dignify things by not saying anything at all. you can be silent for things. It's kind of weird, but hey, I'm not hating. He has more than I do.
So you see now the social media platform is named after DX, right?
X. Yeah. Now everybody's
going to be, sorry, I can't help myself.
Hey, you know what? I love wrestling dad jokes, right?
Yeah, and I'm the king of bad dad jokes. Just ask Adam.
Really? I mean, George is up there too. I mean, you two are pretty close.
Okay.
All right, let's get into the tag team tournament semifinals from the West side. The Young Bucks, which I mentioned that I was not a fan of the fact that we can't tell if they want to boom or not, but are against, I would say, the former best friends. Here's what happened. Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta being held in with Sue and Chuck Taylor in tow had a very fantastic back and forth match. And that dang dirty Sue even got a slap across the face of one of those Young Bucks over that Matthew Jackson. But ultimately, the Young Bucks get the dub. But George, it was what happened afterward that gives me a little bit of pause. Trent Beretta lays out Orange Cassidy. What gives, man?
I mean, we've always kind of seen Trent being a little unhappy with maybe how certain things play out. So I kind of like that it's been a slow build, you know, and I like that it wasn't so much rushed. I feel like in wrestling, when we see these kind of hints, we always see it like in a month later or whatever. But I like that it's kind of been building for like a year or so. I mean, like I said, I'm optimistic to see what's going to happen with Trent Beretta. I think he's a great talent. He's got definitely the pedigree of wrestling, you know, all kinds of styles, whether it's WWE, Japan, AEW. Am I over the top?
Yes.
And I know why they didn't do it, for two reasons, actually. But am I being over the top by saying, man, the heat the Bucks would have got if they would have nailed the Sue with the super kick?
Oh yeah, I would turn.
Oh my, just even going, like, you know, motioning for it, that got a bunch of heat. But man, if they would have got her with that kick, oh my god! Like, see that, I would have wanted to see, I would have paid to see Best Friends against Young Bucks rematch, just so they can get their hands on the, like, that to me is heat. Yeah, like super kicking someone's mom. That guy, no, I don't
she
know.
She is untouchable. Jim, yeah, you let him know.
No, you can't. No. I know what you're saying, George, mm-hmm. about the heat, but sometimes when you bring someone who is not a trained, to take them, it's not a good idea to have them take a super kick.
Let's not a trained mom? What are you trying to say, Jimmy?
Hey, no. I see the coffee cup there. What, are you stealing my gimmick? What's going on?
Yeah, I know. It's cold brew, man. I need my caffeine to do these shows. I was thrown back. Well, not because of the slap, because, I mean, really, I saw it coming and it totally deserved it. But back to the officiating, because that you were saying earlier about things being a bit too lenient. Historically, the Bucks have been in matches where the referees let them do things. So now I feel like there are characters I should absolutely despise, but I go, oh, young buck go to young buck. And I think now it's hurting them. Is that a kind of a weird assessment on my part? Or am I a little slow to the CEO or the executive vice president wheelhouse here?
No, that's a very fair statement, because if they'd have, you know, because they use that kind of tactic in the past, it doesn't, again, we're talking about the lack of enforcement of rules and tag matches, technically speaking, and you could fudge the numbers as a referee a little bit. You have a five count to get in and out of the ring, but you can use that slow, hey, come on, get out of the ring, start warning them before you start counting, and then, you know, that sort of thing. They were not counting at all. They were just, the referee was just kind of letting him go and letting him go. Why don't they use it? Why don't they utilize it? Because last week they did a double pin cover.
Right, right.
And, you know, why don't they just look at the referees going, come on, one of you has to get out of the ring. Count or you're fired. And then he counts. Hey, and he starts trying to count them out when they make a tag. Hey, come on, you've got a five count. And, you know, one, two, three. If you count to five, you're out of here.
Right.
You know, use that.
I have a question. Why are illegal hold counts quicker than count out to counts? Why is it like one, two?
I don't know.
Is it in the book that you had earlier?
Yeah, in the book. I always wonder that. And wrestling's like one, two, three, but outside count out, it's always these long seconds that take forever.
No, I know. I get it. You know, it sometimes it's like the count when you're counting someone's shoulders to the ground. Throughout the entire match, the cadence should be the same.
Right.
And it should be when you're counting someone with an illegal choke or something. But when you have someone in the corner and you're kind of down and you're choking them, you're trying to get them to break, it feels like it's more intense. When you're counting faster, it makes it look more like, oh, get this guy off him.
Oh, okay, like, I see.
When they're outside the ring, you kind of give them a little leeway, but not too much. And you count a little slower to give them an opportunity to do what they want to do outside the ring. But don't just fluff it off and jump out there with them and hang out for a little while and then jump back in and start counting all over again. And and then when you're counting in the middle of counting, you're sticking your head out and going, get back in here, get back in here. It just takes away from it. You know,
it's the reason why I can't watch Last Man Standing matches anymore. It takes forever.
I like that idea. I know you mentioned it last week, Jimmy, about maybe paying off one of the refs, and like, I don't want to call them out, but like Rick Knox has always kind of been a little, you know, lenient, I guess you can say, when it comes to enforcing some rules. But all he's got to like, if the Young Bucks just like slip him 100, that would explain, obviously, in storyline, that would explain so much on why he like lets a lot of things go. You know what I mean? Like that would be like, oh, okay, well, that explains the last 5 years on why he's been so, you know, unenforcing the rules in Young Bucks matches.
Yeah, I love that. See, I got my pencil always handy, because all it takes is one little something to trigger my brain. The wheels start turning. Like you said, slip them 100. Walk by and just slide their hand in his pocket. And, you know, even commentary can pick up on it. Wait, did Matthew just slide something into Rick Knox's pocket?
I don't want to be that guy, but that was the first appearance of Tony D'Angelo in NXT 2.0. He tried to pay off the referee when he walked in the ring, and the ref was like, what are you doing? He goes, hey, it's for you. Can you sell something nice? But that's just very, very deep cut.
Get some cannolis.
Get some cannolis. Very Orlando thing. But so FTR top flights on the side of this bracket. Of course, Young Bucks do advance. Kind of pretty much heavily favored to win this one, and it's going to see the fallout for this. Orange Cassidy could take a punch, obviously, but Trent Beretta may be in tune for a singles run. I think he can do it. Trent's a good hand, Jimmy, but it is a crowded field in AEW land.
It is, and it's trying to find a space for him now. Yes, that was a nice little turn. It worked. I thought they did it really well, because I don't think the crowd there saw it coming.
No, I didn't.
You know, a lot of people didn't see it coming. And that's the beauty of it. That's when you wanted to, that's when it works. And I, again, trying to find time and space for this to be taking place, and you want it to be prominent. And I hate being the numbers guy and putting this out there, but you don't want to put a match like that on Rampage where it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And it does. You know, and you could put it on Saturday night, but again, you run the risk of, especially now during, you know, tournament season, it's, you know, yeah. With them pushing it back to 11:30 on a Saturday night, I think people would, you know, it's tough getting people to tune in at that time.
There's going to be a lot to watch on Saturday.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. By the way, before we get into the other women's matchup here, Michael Martinez says on the other side, CBS side, I get Monet is fresh, but why is Julia not the focus since she is the champ? And that seems to be a common trend in wrestling right now, where it's kind of like let's build up the number one and number two contenders a lot more than a champion themselves. And hey, I'm not necessarily against it, but I do think Julia Hart can use a little bit more promo love or package love personally.
I hear you. But one real quick thing again about the turning the back to the crowd, and you know, even Mercedes Moné did the same thing. And you know, if ratings matter, rankings. Yeah. Ratings do matter as well, but rankings matter. You know, the number one and number two contender are fighting to see who fights, who takes on Julia Hart for the TBS Championship. Mercedes Moné hasn't had a match yet, so how does she figure into the title picture and the ranking system if she hasn't had a match?
She said, I got next. Did you watch the show, Jimmy? That's how it's done.
Okay. I guess that's what it means by being the CEO.
Yeah, I guess let me write that down so I remember.
Right. Just say, I got next. Remember when Drew McIntyre won the championship, Big Show was hanging out at WrestleMania? Like, hey, I want a match right now. That's how it's done.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about
that. But let's talk about the AEW Women's Championship side. Mariah May and Thunder Rosa, your number one and number two contenders for Toni Storm's championship, had a match. And even though Mariah May was heavily favored by Madame Storm, it was Thunder Rosa with an emphatic win, so much so that Toni Storm was shocked. George Hermoso, two things here besides the whole 930, 940 crack that AEW Women's Division gets. You have Thunder Rosa trying to go after the title she never lost. Can she do it? And is Toni Storm really peaking right now?
Toni Storm right now is at an all-time high. She can do no wrong. Everything about her turns to gold, but it turns to black and white, which is better than gold. But yeah, by all means. I mean, I feel like this is a natural progression for the story of her and Thunder Rosa. They were kind of teammates. Remember right before Thunder Rosa got hurt, I think everybody was talking about Thunderstorm being their team name. So there is a little bit of history there, but I mean, I thought the match was okay. I feel like maybe it's a little too soon for Mariah to maybe be taking some L's, but at the same time, like, she's not Goldberg or she's not Jade Cargill, right? Where it's like, they're not going to build some undefeated streak for her.
Slamovich, really.
Yeah, but I think it was fine. Like I said, I think it's a good story. I don't think Toni Storm's going to be slowing down anytime soon. So I really hope she doesn't lose the belt at Dynasty.
Absolutely. Jeremy, walk me through this one. Thunder Rosa is pretty much getting that swell of support, but it's definitely uphill battle. I mean, you talk about the last run she had years ago when she was AEW Women's Champion. It was a different kind of era in AEW. Can she find a way to get some of that shine again?
Of course she can. She has the talent to do it. And just, again, like I said, get the audience invested in her. And they are climbing aboard. It's coming back. She is getting that audience back on board. But it's going to be tough against someone like a Toni Storm, who is, like you guys said, knocking it out of the park every week. And she is gold right now. Well, sorry, black and white. But you know what?
I refuse. I refuse to play. I hate this gimmick whatsoever. No, actually, I like the whole time.
No, it's good. Yeah. And she's great, even on the commentary where she makes her little comments and all those. She's just awesome. She's hitting it out of the park. And they have a backstory, which I like, sure, too. Her and Thunder Rosa. And I'd like to see little more video packages where they show those little backstories leading into the pay-per-view.
I'm with you. I felt like this episode was kind of light on backstage packages. Like, I know packages are really more of a WWE thing. I mean, relatively speaking, I'm talking about numbers here. But I really feel like there's some stories that could have helped, you know? Like this whole backstage Penta promo where he goes, I want you, Cope, because I'm an AEW original. Cut to matches official. Like, I would love to have something where like Penta is like looking through the opponents or walking through the street being like, why I'm not picked, I want to be that guy. And I thought that was a story beat that kind of got skipped over for the match itself.
And I know I keep harping on this all the time, but they need an on-air authority figure. Not somebody relaying messages through Tony Schiavone's earpiece.
Right.
You know, and happening right after we have the, hey, I'm taking you on. Oh, well, the match is official. As soon as they do this, the little promo thing, whatever. No, have somebody you want come in, even come into the shot if you want to do it. Whoever it might be. I know a guy named Scott D'Amore who I think would fit that authority figure position really well. And just come out and say, hey, you want that shot at Copeland? You got it. Next week, right here on Dynamite.
I'm sold. George, I'm going to ask you the same question here. The authority figure is something, sometimes we get too much of it, sometimes it's not enough, but AEW is really missing that, especially with our contract signing coming up later today. But before I get there, the Penta thing really was jarring to me. You had Penta saying, I want it, and it was 3 seconds after graphic goes up, it's official. George, does AEW need an authority figure, and if so, who do you think will be?
They do, as long as it doesn't have the show revolve around them. I feel like in 2003, and again, I'm not talking anything, taking anything away from the entertainment factor of it, but in Raw, it always revolved around Bischoff and Eric, or Bischoff and Austin, right? Like, right. They're co-GMs. And again, it was entertaining, but it just, the show revolved around them. Like, we don't need the show to have like multiple segments with just the commissioner, whoever it's going to be. I think Nick Aldis does a great job. I think Adam Pearce does a great job. I thought Jack Tunney did a fantastic job at being, you know, the GM. I think it was mentioned before, Regal did a great job. So as long as we kind of see that kind of authority figure, and just for it to kind of flow a lot better, right? Mm-hmm. Where you kind of, you know, do a promo and you kind of have like, even if something where like the commissioners in the office say like, hey, I'm always watching. I'm always going to be watching, like, you know, if you want to make a challenge, come to my office, whatever. You don't even have to show the backstage segment, just something where you're acknowledging there's somebody out there that is just ready to make the matches. And yeah, I think it's like little things where it's like, I'm weird when it comes to like,
you're among friends, George. Continue.
But I'm saying, like, trying to kayfabe the production of a pro wrestling show where it's like you had the promo. And I'm like, oh, wow, like the graphics team was really fast. And then they had to give the graphics team, submit it to the production team. The production team was in the truck, put it up, so just little things like that where I'm like, I would have liked for it to be a little bit longer, you know, right. Not just cut, like, all right, it's official, guys. You know, little things like that.
Like, did Edge even, sorry, did Adam Cole even say yes? Or just like, hey, by the way, you got a match Saturday. Hey,
what? I mean, when you pretty much promote a cope open, I guess what you call it is, right. I mean, you can't really say no to anyone either.
Right. But that's a very small gripe. But yeah, I think the more I think about it, and I know sometimes on-air GMs or authority figures kind of become like character props. They just say yes to every match. They make it official, whatever. But you know, I do think that AEW is somebody, because it is kind of weird when we have our contract signing that Tony Schiavone is a guy that is in the middle of all this. But before we get to that, we got to talk about this Dynasty pay-per-view. It's in 3 weeks. I just want to get a little temperature of the room in the YouTube, in the chat. Are you guys excited for it? Are you kind of on it? Are you not looking forward to it at all? George, I'm going to start with you. Dynasty, 3 weeks from now.
I'm looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of good matchups, a lot of fresh matchups. I feel like it is going to be Swerve's time. I feel like it is going to be Will Ospreay's time to shine as well, if he hasn't already. I wouldn't be surprised. Willow, I think Willow's going to take the championship too. I mean, I know we're making predictions now, apparently, but it's going to set up, her against Mercedes, which that itself has a backstory. So I feel like this pay-per-view is going to lead up a lot more to something bigger, which is going to be Double or Nothing. So for that matter, I do feel like what I mentioned earlier, we're going to see a lot more story-based matches now, where you're going to have stories that lead to matches instead of the vice versa, which I think Dynasty is going to play a big part in that.
Yeah. Jimmy, fan, mid, 5 out of 10, 10 out of 10?
No, I'm kind of between the mid and, really interested. There's a couple of matchups there that I really want to see, especially after the end of the show. You know, and of course, Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. See, I do it too, Daniel Bryan. I can't help myself.
Struggling.
It just flows out, you know.
All right.
Those really interest me very much. I want to see that matchup more than anything, actually.
Well, let's get into our main event. Contract signing. And you know me, I'm not a fan of them because DocuSign does exist. Okay. Samoa Joe comes out and he's a bad dude, but Swerve is a man on a mission. They know what's going to happen. But of course, like men most contracts, Oh, yeah, I remember that. Shout out to Oscar. Like most contract signings, everyone walks away peacefully. No, I'm just kidding. Fight breaks out. You got the whole chain action. You have Swerve busted open. I thought he was dead, but he rose from the dead. He was like, give me all you got. Samoa Joe was just, oh, I can't believe it. I'm Samoa Joe. Stay down. It was bonkers. And it's so fun. This happened an hour after, like, Willow Nightingale's G Willikers promo. Jimmy,
yeah.
Look, walk me through this, man. This has been the most, like, TV 14 moment I've seen out of absolutely nowhere in AEW in a while.
No, exactly. You haven't seen the blood in a while, so that made it mean that much more. Just like the other one and from the other guys last week. So the interesting thing is I'm surprised that they saved a big moment like this for tonight, because we still have 3 weeks to go to the pay-per-view. This almost feels like it should have been the go-home segment. The match is already pretty much set up. Have them do the official contract signing. And it's a funny thing, because my wife was here watching that segment with me, and she's not a big fan of the juice.
Oh, yeah.
When they do it. And she said, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. I said, I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, this adds a little different element to this rivalry, and he should sign that contract in blood right now. And that's right. And it's almost like, whoa, wow, he did it. Yes, that's what it needed.
Real quick about the Jews, I want to say this. When I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling because my mom came to this country and watched the professional wrestling arts and sciences. It was Ken Patera that was so violent, and she was banned from the house. So the entire time as a kid, I grew up hating the dude. But I get it because it's very, very important. Everything's on the line. AEW championships on the line. Yeah, sparingly.
No, sparingly. Just when it actually needs to be done, not crushing through 75 tables and chairs or whatever.
Right. You know what I mean? Matches, yeah.
You know, when you do those matches, make it mean something. But again, I digress. In this case, it felt like it was warranted.
Yeah.
And I'm a Joe guy, man. Joe just feels the part. That one little nitpicky thing I could do is they got to get in tune. The producers or whoever's putting these segments together got to get in tune with a production truck and let them know when things are going to happen, because they actually shot Prince Nana handing Swerve something. I don't want to give it away too much. I don't want to peel the curtain back too much, but he handed him something to do the deed. Let's
probably a Chili's gift card. George, talk to him in a second.
Nando's.
Yeah, exactly. Nando's. Yeah. Prince Nando's. I can't believe it. I missed that one. George, walk me through this, man. You're a fan of the color? You're a fan of this a feud? Or the fan of this contract signing?
I mean, it kind of sounds like a broken record. Yeah. We're all, I think, pretty smart people to know that when used sparingly, it kind of means a lot more. Obviously, people kept talking on and on about when WWE used color about a week ago because everybody thought it was the best thing ever. And if that was the case the previous week, I don't think people would have been saying that. So especially now, and I kind of like that they brought up the whole, like, his match with Adam Page, how he was a sick guy, and, you know, everything that Swerve did in that match. So I kind of like that they brought up that part of, you know, Swerve's history. But yeah, it definitely got me more excited for that championship match. I really felt more and more that Dynasty is going to be Swerve's moment. And yeah, I really think all the cards are for Swerve, in my opinion, for that match for him to come out as AEW World Champion.
Now, I agree with you guys, but it wouldn't be a show if we all agreed all the time. But let's be real. There were some situations where we thought guys were going to be the guy, the Wardlows, the Lance Archers, the Brian Cages. And Swerve is a good guy, but I can also see him being close to the sun, but not actually touching the surface. I mean, am I just being very negative for no reason?
Yes, 1,000%. You're going to compare Swerve and the momentum that he's on to the one that Brian Cage was on or Lance Archer?
Or the Acclaimed, or
I get what you're saying, Flobo, because they could still do something here where Joe retains the championship and still keep that momentum with Swerve if it's done correctly. I don't know what that correctly is at this moment because, you know, there's some great minds out there. Please utilize them and take advice from them. Always learn from the others. Be a sponge, but you can do it. Because Joe right now is on fire. He is killing it as champion. And I almost want to say, I hate to see him lose the title, but you have to put it on Swerve at some point.
Right. I mean, I hope so. I mean, and I like Joe too. I never thought Joe would be transitional, but I think he was an important, it's almost like Mox's second run. It was like a very important thing to be there when he got the opportunity to be champion. But hey, I like Swerve. He's like Jack Farmer, a Pacific Northwest guy, you know, really grinding Lucha Underground for years. I mean, this might be a good coronation for them 3 weeks from now. Well, yeah, this has been this week's edition of Dynamite, and we kind of went through everything today. Before we wrap things up, fellas, final words. Start with you, Jimmy.
Well, I thought it was a good Dynamite. They did a good job of progressing stories, which I like. Of course, I have my little issues with the striped shirts, but that's a different story for another day. But no, I thought it was a good episode. I thought they're heading in the right directions. They're doing things that I think will help elevate them.
That'd be worthy of a ref and rant, George.
Yeah, it was good for the most part. I think there were a couple hiccups. I wasn't really keen on the Jericho segment. I wasn't really keen on the old backs to the crowd segment. You know, I liked the Willow promo. I thought she was great. I think it was one of the first times that they kind of showed her that she has a lot more personality with her voice as opposed to her mannerisms, which I thought was a great touch. I really think the world of Willow Nightingale. But yeah, overall, it was good. You know, I didn't really hammer home anything that's going to be coming up next week on Dynamite. I know it was kind of like, look, have something that people can look forward to next week. I feel like maybe that part was a miss. They didn't really do anything much as far as that goes. But I mean, for the most part, for the show itself, it was good. 6 out of 10, 6.8 out of 10.
6.8. Well, how do you get a 0.8, not 7? What the? You're so. All right, you know what? I'm not even going to ask.
they didn't show all their work. That's why.
That's what it is. It's a shorthand.
A couple decimals, yeah.
Of course, the in-ring action is never an issue on AEW. But yeah, there were some issues like it's Lance Archer. I mean, being second match of the night, I go, whatever. And of course, the contract signing to me was kind of a shock. But talking with you guys, it totally makes sense. I give it a 7.1 out of 10 there, George.
What's with the decimals?
Well, because you did it. So I figured, why not? You know, I'm totally a follower.
Why not just a 71 out of 100?
We could do that too. We could do stars. Have you heard of stars in wrestling? Never.
No. Please let's not start that here.
I give it 12 stars, baby. So Wrestling Inc. has content. Go out all the rest of the week. I think the next show on our docket is the SmackDown After Show. And I think we'll be back next week for AE Dynamite as well. Jimmy, where can the world find you, connect with you, follow your gimmicks, and all that stuff?
Well, you can find me here on Mondays nights after Raw, Wednesday nights after Dynamite, kicking it up with you guys and whoever else I'm on there with. And I love doing it. I'm having a blast. Also, I'm having a blast on the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This week, Wildcat Chris Harris was our guest, and we had a blast talking to him and just talking it up, because our podcast isn't a gotcha kind of thing. We just have fun, tell stories, and just, you know, dig a little bit into the personalities of the people that we talk to. And of course, my ref and rants you can catch every day on my social media platforms from Monday to Friday, where I give a little minute or so of maybe a critique, maybe a positive spin on something. It varies, but I have a little fun with it. And again, if I do critique, it's not to tear down, it's to tighten screws that, in my opinion, need to be tightened. And that's it. And if you're out in Philly, I will be in Philly this week. I will be hanging out with my, like I said, my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, at the Busted Open Party on Saturday at the 2300 Arena. Come by, say hi, and you know what? If you don't, you'll be DQ'd.
Shout out to Brian Hebner. The only random memory I have is when, like, Slam Master
Jay... He was beatboxing?
So random. Okay, that's
you know how that started. That started because we were on a plane somewhere, and there somebody was trying to battle rap. I forget it was one of the full blooded Italian guys was trying to battle rap Cena, and then we were like, "Come on, man!" So you know, Hebner started doing the beatbox, which he was good at. Yeah. And he says, and then you know, John said, "Okay, we're doing that on TV."
Wow,
we're doing that on TV.
Yeah, George, what's going on, man? How can I follow you?
You can follow me on Friday because as I'm reviewing the SmackDown show here on Wrestling Inc. So are you guys call it Wink?
Apparently, yeah. You guys call it wink.
What do you mean you got? No, I'm just kidding.
I've never called it that. I just call it wrestling by its full name, by its full government name. You can follow me on G Hermosa, G-H-E-R-A-R-G-H. I can't even spell my last name. G-H-E-R-M-O-Z-A on all social media. You can follow my wrestling channel, The Wrestling Chatter, on, I just did a TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I think I'm missing one. TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. All of them. Tomorrow, going to be premiering Scotty Riggs' interview. We talked about everything. We talked about his days as Scott Studd, his days as Scotty Riggs, his days as Scotty Anton. If anybody's seen him on YouTube recently, you see this big transformation that he's done, doing the DDP yoga and you know, going from a lot heavier guy to now he's probably in the best shape of his life, got a new set of teeth. Like, really, like, Google, put you on YouTube, Scotty Riggs, you're going to be inspired, admired, and everything about Scotty Riggs. So we're going to be talking to all of that. Usually our interviews go for like 30 minutes, but this one was like over an hour long. Nice. Talk a little football for all you football fans. He's a big Dallas Cowboys fan, so if anybody wants to hear anything about Dallas Cowboys and his thoughts about it,
we talk about
that too. So that's going to be premiering tomorrow on the Wrestling Chatter YouTube channel.
I'm like, oh yeah, Scotty Riggs, the Cowboys.
I know. I'm a Titans guy. What can I tell you?
What? Okay, I'm a Texans fan.
You guys just got Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I know. Finally, good news. Shout out to CJ Stroud. So at Global Boys on that X, and I usually am just lurking on Jimmy's post, and I go like because I have that notification button on. I'll be back Friday with the Wink SmackDown After Show alongside George Hermosa. Oh, and hit up Jack Farmer at Real Jack Farmer and say, why did you come to work this week? Angry face. No, I'm just having fun. You guys are great. We'll see you Friday here on the Wrestling Egg After Show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.